Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend show. On this weekend show, we're kicking off the show, first two segments, with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. In the last two segments, we're moving focus a bit more into the precious metals sector as we are going to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, there's no denying that we are still very much in the middle of summer trading. We did just experience a general rebound in almost every sector outside of energy, which was running when the markets were correcting. However, this bounce, this rebound in the markets seems to have petered out about a week and a half ago. And this week, although we are recording this about midday through on Thursday, the markets still have broadly rolled over. And it brings in that whole conversation of, was that recent rally nothing more than almost a textbook bear market rally? Dana, let's start there. Your comments on the recent rally in U.S. focus markets. Is that simply just a bear market rally that we just experienced?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, as we've been saying all along for the last several months, even during the rally, even when we've been long for a good portion of the rally, our thought is it's still just a bear market rally. It has done nothing to dispel that thesis, in our view. In fact, it failed right where it should have. Our quantitative risk model, which is an intermediate term model, did turn positive several weeks ago. So in our view, does open up the possibility that it is something more substantial than just a bear market bounce. So we have all options open, all options on the table. But for now, our view, our thinking is still that until it's proven otherwise, that this is a bear market bounce. And after breaking what could be some substantial support level below, which we think will be tested in pretty short order. If it does fail there, then that would cinch it, and we're likely to move down to test the lows, eventually break in, put in a new down leg. So, but for now, basically, like you mentioned, summer trading stuck right in between some smack dab in the middle of some good support and resistance on the chart. So, like you said, the jury is still out. Our view right now, and we're pretty our investment posture is pretty conservative right now, slightly net long at the moment, but we think right in the middle of the trading range, so not a big edge right here either way. But after this little trading rage resolves itself, then we should get fireworks again.
Well, Dana, we'll keep watching for what the fireworks are, whether it's a breakout in the markets or whether it's a retest of the lows and possibly a breakdown to new lower lows. I guess this brings up the question of timeframes in investing. And when you're coaching your subscribers, there's people that are short-term traders, and they may be looking to even get short these markets if it gets up to a resistance level and ride it back down, or get long for a short period of time and play the rallies. But if you were a longer-term value investor and you've been holding, let's say, general equities for years, and you've had a really nice run, obviously, for the last dozen years, would you be scaling out of positions just to get a bit more defensive here on any rallies in the event that we do see that deeper corrective move? Or do you think it would be more apt for people just to hold through any pain they see?
Our philosophy is not to take big losses, so we don't ever suggest holding through and taking the pain, taking the lumps, and waiting in the long term for the market to right itself, because nobody likes to take a 20-30% loss like we saw in the first half of the year. I don't care how young or old you are, no live through that, because A, it doesn't guarantee that that's the end of it. You don't know that that's the end of it, so it could be just halfway to much deeper losses. And B, once you get down to that 20-30% drawdown, usually, it depends on the investing population, often the demographic you're in, but typically once it gets down to that point, then people are looking at their statements, you know, they can't, buy and hold sounds great until you get punched in the mouth, right? And when you're down 30% and your financial advisor is telling you, just hold on, sit through it, it'll bounce back, it's hard to do so when you're seeing like real losses on your statement. So what we see most of the time and what subverts the notion of buy and hold and the buy and hold strategy is your ability to sit through that pain when you have that big drawdown. So what typically happens is what happened in June. Nobody was hedged at the beginning of the year. Everyone was, you know, record levels of investment. And then after the 30% drawdown in June, everyone gets hedged. So they get hedged at the wrong time. They miss the bounce to the upside, or they sell out and they miss the bounce to the upside. Now you've got the FOMO kicking in again into the rally after a couple of months. So our suggestion would be, yeah, if you do not have a financial advisor or you don't have a strategy to actively manage risk so you can get out before that 20, 30, 50% drawdown, then do the buy and hold thing and don't touch it and don't ever look at it. But we found in reality that's very hard for people to sit through. So our advice is to find a strategy, find a manager, find a service that helps you manage risk proactively so that you don't sit through that huge drawdown. Then you're stuck at the lows with an important, you know, and a painful decision. Do you sit through and possibly risk another, you know, 20, 30, 50% drawdown, or get out to stop the pain and risk missing that huge bounce back like we've seen over the last couple months?
Dana, since we're talking risk, I want to focus a bit more on the tech sector, because the tech sector was a standout really over the last decade plus, moving higher. And even after that COVID crash, tech did really well moving higher, especially ARK Innovations, the Cathie Wood Fund. However, we've seen ARK Innovations move down almost 80% from the peak to the recent low about 3.5 months ago, and it has rebounded, but the rebound in any time frame chart still looks fairly weak. Did come on the back of quite strong and high volume. How do you view the tech sector in terms of the risk profile? Is there much more downside here? Has a lot of it been washed out? Or, again, do we need to watch out for another pretty big drop?
Sure. Well, generally, or almost 100% of the time, you look at historical cycles, and whoever sector was the leader in the bull cycle, in one bull cycle, after a reset or a bear market, that's not going to be the leader in the next cycle. So relative strength is always rotating. So I would not hold my breath and wait for technology and growth to be, you know, the leader in the next bull cycle, whether it's starting now or whether we have to wait for this longer-term bear market to run its course, which we think is the case. I don't think, and history provides much evidence for that, for this, that technology is very, very unlikely to be the leader in the next up move. So we would, especially, and this goes to Shad's question a second ago, if you're in a lot of tech, in a lot of growth, which a lot of people are because that was a leader in the last bull move up, yes, into this bear market rally, or if it's a legit rally, still I'd be rotating out. I would be lightening up on any rallies here, especially in tech, especially in growth. Yes, it led the way in the bounce over the last couple of months. I would throw consumer discretionary there as well, but that's because it got beaten up the most. You know, that's why it bounced. Everything, whatever gets beaten up the most, that's always going to be the biggest short-term bouncer. But from a long-term basis, I do not expect growth and technology and consumer discretionary to be a leader for a long time.
All right, Dana, we're going to have to wrap it up here, but we're having you back on next segment. We're going to talk a few other sectors. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with fund manager Dana Lyons. Now, Dana, first segment, we focused on the U.S. markets. This segment, we're going to bounce around to a number of different sectors and indices, starting with the bond market. Yields have been fairly range-bound. However, they've been range-bound in a generally higher level than we have seen in decades. Dana, take us through your, at least right now, outlook, short-term outlook, how you're trading the bond market.
Yeah, well, as you know, we're long-term bears in the bond market. We think interest rates, the long 60-year cycle bottomed in 2020. We think interest rates go up for many years or several decades to come. Won't be a straight line. So in the near term, we've been wrong about it over the last week or so. We're testing, I think, at key level here around 312 on the 10-year. If it gets meaningfully above there, then we'll stop out of that long position. And it looks like rates will be headed back up here again in the near term. We have been on the lookout for a down move in yields, kind of a counter trend move. 275 would be support on the 10-year. We're looking for a move maybe down towards that 230 level. So short term, we have been bullish on bonds, bearish on yields. That could be wrong, and that would be, you know, if we are, that's fine. It goes along with our long-term stance, which is, again, we think bond yields, after dropping for longer than they quote-unquote should have within that 60-year cycle, they've been coming down for, they came down, you know, 40 years. A huge up move, a huge up cycle is long overdue, and we think that started a couple years ago. So in general, we'll be trading on the short side of the Treasury market for many years to come.
So, Dana, the U.S. dollar was another asset this week that I think was fairly important because it made another run higher right up to that 109 level, slightly above 109, has slightly turned over from that level, but still holding up in the high 108 level. Look, there's no doubt that the dollar chart is still quite bullish, and a lot of factors out there, macro factors, that seem to be pushing investors still into the dollar as more of a safe haven play. What's your outlook for the dollar? Do you think that the dollar can get over 109, maybe make a run towards 120?
Yeah, right now our target would be around that 110 and a quarter level. So we've been looking for continued higher highs in the dollar. That's one. If you're just looking at the chart, how can you fight that chart, right? So it continues to make higher highs, higher lows. Right now we tested, you know, the highs that we saw back in June. So an obvious spot for us, I guess it was in July, an obvious spot to pause the rally the short term. But I expect to see at least one more higher high up into the 110 plus range. How high it goes above that, no clue, but we'll continue to trade it from the long side. We've been long the dollar for a while. We'll continue to trade it on the long side and continue to buy any dips here. So after a pause, obvious pause at the prior highs, I expect higher highs still to come there.
Well, Dana, we've talked about bonds and the dollar, which are both considered historically safe havens. What about gold, one of the other safe havens? What's your outlook on the precious metals?
Yeah, we're still long-term bullish. Still think there's another big up cycle to come. It's obviously hasn't gotten going yet, but looking at the ETFs that we trade, GLD, for example, has continued to hold that 158-ish level that we have earmarked as basically your last-ditch support. Break there opens up a move down towards back into the 130s maybe. But so we've been we're still long, looking for that 158 level to hold. If it does, which has been, you know, the bottom of the range for the last couple of years, we think this is all part of, you know, kind of a digestion of that 2016 to 20 rally that we saw that tested the 2011 highs. And once we get done with this kind of digestion consolidation, then we're able to break out and put in a major new up leg there. So right now in the short term, though, I think the key level to watch on the GLD is down around that 158 level. If we can hold that, then certainly we do have a chance to start that long-term rally sooner than later.
Dana, what about the stocks? Let's go to GDX, the gold stocks, because that chart arguably is worse than the gold chart. The stocks have sold off along with the broad averages. Gold has held up generally better. What are you seeing in the GDX chart?
Yeah, and it's similar to gold, but like you said, a little bit weaker. But we are long GDX. The key level for us is where it just held again, down around 25, held there in July, held again over the last week or so. So that's our line in the sand on GDX. We break that decisively, then maybe we're down close to that 20 level, 19, 20 level. But for us, 25 is a line in the sand. We do think, obviously, once that long-term precious metals bull market does kick in and we get that next up leg, we think miners will go along with it. However, in the near term, obviously, gold miners, silver miners have been certainly much weaker than the metals themselves. So more risk there, but we are long a small amount of GDX and the gold miners, waiting a little bit more patiently on the silver miners to get involved, back involved there. But like GLD, we think if GDX can hold in here, then it's got a chance to rally again sooner than later.
Let's also talk cryptos then. Bitcoin still fighting with that $20,000 level. Really has been quite range-bound recently. What's your take on cryptos broadly? Is Bitcoin going up, going down, staying range-bound?
Right now we're range-bound, obviously. Did hold a key spot in June around that 18,000 level, give or take. Got kind of a meager bounce off of that. You know, it was still, on a percentage basis, I guess it jumped like 50%, but as in terms of a retracement from that down move, you know, that we saw when it, that top last fall, not much of a retracement to speak of. So we did buy it for the bounce, pretty much scratched on the trade, given the recent breakdown. So, we're switching gears right now and, into this little consolidation over the last, week or two. Looking for hopefully a little bit, more of a bump up, but, looking actually to go short Bitcoin, at least for a trade, for a, move back down to test around that 20,500 level. And if we do break there, then we should be testing again near those lows in June. But looking for, in the near term, and this is a trade again, looking for an opportunity on the short side in cryptos.
All right, Dana. Love hearing all of your market comments. Thank you so much for going around a number of different sectors to outline where you're positioned and where you think these markets could be going. Again, we do need to consider that we have just gone through a bit of a summer rally, broadly on lower volume, but we do have some more near-term catalysts that we are creeping up to as we approach the end of summer and as more traders get back to their desks. That could lead to some more volatility. It also could just confirm again that this bear market is continuing. Dana, thank you so much for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with Jeff Christian.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
USA Radio News.
President Biden is dismissing the claims from former President Donald Trump that he broadly declassified the boxes of White House documents he took to Florida after leaving office.
Come on. I'm not going to comment on because I don't know the detail. I don't even want to know. I'll let the Justice Department take care of it.
This comes after the Justice Department released an affidavit that offered some new information about the materials recovered from Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. While the documents contained very little information about the search itself, it did reveal that an initial collection of boxes from Mar-a-Lago in January yielded 15 boxes containing 184 documents that were classified secret or top secret. This is USA Radio News. A school district in southwestern Missouri has decided to bring back spanking as a form of discipline for students if their parents agree. The policy states that corporal punishment will be used only when other forms of discipline, such as suspensions, have failed, and then only with the superintendent's permission.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection reports their agent seized over 10,000 pounds of fentanyl at the U.S. southern border in the fiscal year 2022 through July. Director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, Dr. Rahul Gupta.
The president believes this is a top urgent priority, and that's exactly why he's proposing a budget that's historic increases in funding for Customs and Border Protection, DEA, in order to get them the resources, the technology, and the infrastructure to do their job even better.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're now shifting our focus pretty much primarily to the precious metals as we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner over at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, you recently sent out a video to everyone on the CPM Group's news list or email list that talked about ending irrational fears and expectations in gold and silver. The part that I want to pick out of that video and focus on is more your long-term outlook for gold. Look, gold has gone through a great run in 2019, the whole way up to about 2020 to even 2022 this year when it did touch above 2000 again. However, gold has pretty much been under pressure. We're coming up to another monthly close early this next week, and a lot of people looking at around that 1750 level. Either way, gold has dropped, I believe it's 5 months in a row, looking at a potential of 6 months in a row. But that's more short-term outlook. In the longer-term aspect of it, though, Jeff, what is your outlook? Are you broadly bullish, or do you think the bear market is really taking control here and gold could also be suffering from a more prolonged pullback?
Yeah, you know, we CBM Group lives in many worlds. And in one world, people look at intraday highs and lows. And in another part of the world, people look at, you know, monthly, annual, quarterly and annual averages and longer term trends. And from a short term perspective, we still think that the gold and silver markets are under short term pressure in August into September, because of our economic expectations in terms of interest rates, inflation, overall economic activity, and political developments. So we think on a short-term basis that these things are still vulnerable. And, yeah, as you said, we're talking before Jackson Hole. On a longer-term basis, we are still very much bullish on gold and to a probably a lesser extent on silver. you know, more so on gold because we see it more as quasi-money. Well, we don't see it more as quasi-money and financial asset. The world looks at gold and silver and says gold is more of a quasi-money and a financial asset than is silver. And the world acts accordingly. You know, our expectation is that the upward move that you talked about from the middle of 2019, it really into March of 2022. You know, it peaked in August of 2020 and came down and has been trading sideways. We see that as the first leg of a much longer term upward move. And, you know, we saw the price move, more than $700 in that first leg up from 2019 into 2020. And our view is we've been consolidating pretty much above 1680 ever since then, and that at some point the gold price will probably move out of that consolidation range into and move up again. And you might see another $700 move. You know, and if you take $1,700 as a base and you add $700 to it, that's $2,400 so as a possible target. But that may not occur for several years, in our view. And it's going to depend on how the world reacts to economic what those economic developments are in the long run and how the world reacts to them. So, you know, we're still long-term bullish on gold and on silver, but we don't necessarily see them running away yet this year. We do think they'll start moving higher. Now, one other thing I want to talk about, you know, it's funny because, yeah, if you look at it on an intraday basis, yeah, the price has been down for 5 months. If you look at it on an annual or quarterly basis, gold is close to record levels or at record levels. You know, the average price for gold through July this year has been $1,850. The annual average price has never been that high. The highest annual average price was last year when it was $1,799. So we're at record levels in terms of year-to-date prices compared to any other year. And if you look at the charts that we look at, you can sort of say, okay, yes, and those charts are available on our YouTube videos, I should say. And we did a video talking about these things just Tuesday of, the 23rd of August. If you look at charts that we look at, you can say, okay, we went from $270 in 2001 to $1,900 in 2011. We came down. We had this long, broad consolidation phase from 2013 into 2019. That consolidation phase, that was a cyclical decline in the context of a larger secular upward move. And if you think about that move from 270 to 1900 as the first leg of a measured move. Think of 2013 to 2019 as the consolidation phase, and it consolidated above $1,200. So it consolidated at record levels. And then it started moving higher in 2019 in what we think of as the second leg of an even broader, bigger upward move in gold prices, which is going to relate to financial, economic, and political developments in the world. So we're looking at the period from early 2020 till now, and we're saying the gold price has basically been consolidating between $1,700 and $1,900, a couple spikes down to $1,680, $1,650, a couple spikes up over $2,000, but basically consolidating most of the last 3 years between $1,700 and $1,900. And we think this is another consolidation phase. It has further to go, but then at some point it breaks out, and it will most likely break out to the upside.
Well, Jeff, it is interesting to look at things in different time frames and to look at different time frames on charts, because you're right. When you look at the daily charts or the hourly charts, it's easy to get stuck in the noise, and I think that's probably why some precious metals investors feel like gold or silver are struggling. But when you put it in terms of annualized price and just how things have been trending higher, you could make the argument that gold has done its job. It has reacted to inflation, has reacted to some economic chaos, whether it was the pandemic or the war in Ukraine, et cetera. And it actually has been there as a hedge against a weakening economy. So is that how you're looking at it, that in the secular bull market as it plays out, that you can't really get stuck in the daily noise, but you kind of have to zoom back a little bit to take in the bigger picture and see how gold is reacting to the larger macroeconomic trends?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I sometimes say I like trout fishing, you know, where you just have to wait for a long, long time before the trout bite, you know. But, you know, in terms of gold and inflation, gold actually kind of preacted to inflation. You know, gold prices rose from the middle of 2019 into the middle of 2020, and inflation didn't start picking up until the second quarter of 2021. So, you know, I wouldn't say that necessarily gold was preacting to inflation, but I would say that gold was preacting. It was reacting and responding to a variety of economic and political and social crises, including the pandemic, which ultimately led to the inflation that we are seeing now. That and the government responses to the pandemic and everything led to the inflation that we're experiencing now, you know. So, yeah, you know, I often advise our investment clients and my family and myself that, you know, the best investment is an investment that you can have and you can put it away and you don't have to think about it. And then, you know, every so often you look at it and you say, wow, that's gone up. You look at Berkshire Hathaway, they trade in and out of stock. But there's a core of investments like Coca-Cola. I think they've owned Coca-Cola for something like 40 years now. You know, it's like, yeah, we might trade around it, but this is a long-term investment, and gold is the ultimate long-term investment.
Well, Jeff, we're going to continue this discussion in the next segment, so everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with Jeff Christian. We're going to focus even more on the precious metal sector and just how it's setting up moving forward, especially compared to some other markets.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are continuing to chat with Jeff Christian. Now, just a note for everyone listening on the radio to hear the full interviews of both the first two segments as well as these last two segments, you can go to our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report, to listen to those full interviews. To wrap up this show, we're continuing to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, we, in the first segment with you, really talked about the measured move for gold, that you could see it moving higher in the next couple of years. We didn't really get a defined number from you, so let's start there. In terms of where gold is now, where the measured move takes us to, give us some numbers, please, Jeff.
Yeah, we just completed our quarterly update. We do long-term 10-year projections for gold and silver, supply, demand, and price. And we just completed this week our long-term gold report. You know, we're looking at a nominal price that would peak around $2,600 an ounce. $2,579 is the computed price in our model. You know, so
Jeff, in all fairness, at that level, that doesn't get that many investors excited about it. I realize it's a buy and hold, but think of the moves that people are seeing in other markets. To me, that sort of a move, while good for investors in the space, doesn't necessarily draw in a large number of other investors.
Actually, it does draw in a lot of investors, and it is actually a really good return compared to other competing assets. What it doesn't do, it doesn't satisfy the people who have these irrational faith-based beliefs that gold's going to $3,000 or $10,000, that the international currency regime system's going to collapse, that the government's going to call in your dollars, you know, that they're going to round up minorities and put us all in concentration camps. It doesn't fulfill those dreams of people who have these faith-based beliefs that the world's going to collapse and gold's going to $10,000. What it does do is it provides a very healthy, competitive return for assets in gold compared to other assets in stocks and bonds and other investments. So, you know, you find a lot of rational, fact-based, reality-oriented investors saying $2,500 sounds like an incredibly high price. And if I look at it on a compounded annual return, even from today's, you know, $1,790, that's a very good return over the next 3 to 5 years. I'm interested in gold. The other guys, you know, hey, you know, I've been told by my guru that the gold price is going to $10,000 for 40 years. You know, what do you know, Jeff? Well, I know that for 40 years it hasn't gone to $10,000.
Well, Jeff, in that context where gold would make a move to $2,500, $2,600, I think that would be a solid move for the yellow metal. The question would be, would that drag silver along for the ride? Because often silver correlates with gold pretty well. I realize it's a different metal and it's got an industrial component to it, but it seems like around the periphery, what would drive these higher is investment demand. So just curious what you think silver would do in that kind of environment if gold made that kind of move.
Yeah, again, you have to differentiate between intraday spikes and, you know, annual average prices. It's quite possible that silver would outperform gold at times during the next 5 years or three to five years on an intraday basis. We think that silver on an annual or quarterly annual basis probably lags gold, and it has over the last several years. You know, gold hit a peak in 2011, it came down, it hit a new peak in 2020 and 2022. Silver hit a peak in 2011, 2012, came down. It has risen, but it hasn't gotten close to its previous peak, either on an intraday basis or an annual or quarterly average basis. Our view is that silver probably will lag gold. I mentioned earlier, if you go around the world and you talk to people about safe haven assets, you know, what are the assets you run to when the earth starts trembling? The two things that people say all the time are gold and the U.S. dollar. Silver comes up sometimes, but not nearly as often. And a lot of people who say gold, when you say, well, what about silver, they kind of scrunch up their faces. You know, so the reality is that while silver tends to move in conjunction with gold, it's got like a 75-80% correlation statistically in terms of monthly price changes. While it tends to move in conjunction broadly with gold, we think that gold will outperform silver over the next 3 to 5 years.
So, Jeff, since you brought up the dollar, let's talk about the relationship between currencies and gold. If you have this longer-term bullish outlook for gold, does that mean the dollar falls? Does the dollar also benefit? Because right now we've seen the dollar definitely pressuring commodities broadly.
The dollar doesn't necessarily fall. You know, the correlation between gold and the dollar month-to-month changes is like negative 30%. And there are periods of time when they both rise together, like 1978, 1979. And the future of the dollar will depend on what the U.S. government does. It has the capacity to keep the dollar strong and to keep the dollar as the de facto reserve currency of choice, both in the private investment sector and on the central bank sector. However, I'm not sure that the U.S. government has the political willpower or the U.S. people have the political willpower to do what happens. I mean, if you go back to the period in 1993 to 2000, you saw the U.S. bring in some very good actuarialists to the IRS, and they increased taxes and fees on U.S. government services, and they took the federal deficit, which was about $350 billion a year in 1992-1993, and they turned it into a surplus for 4 years. And they paid down $1 trillion of federal debt during that period of time. They got rid of the 30-year bond for a while because they didn't think it was going to be needed. And if you look at that period of time, the dollar rose sharply. It was kind of flat from 1993 to 1995, but then it rose sharply. And people and central banks around the world said, look at what the U.S. government and the U.S. economy are doing. And that's what we need. I mean, the Chinese government and the People's Bank of China at the U.S. government's ability to, with marginal changes in the tax base and marginal changes in government spending, it was able to turn a $300 billion deficit into a surplus and start paying down the debt. And it's very important. They didn't pay off the debt. They just started paying it down. And when you show the world that you can, in fact, pay down the debt with marginal changes in your tax code, all of a sudden people want your currency. And the People's Bank of China and the Chinese government said, we need a we need an economy like that. And they started implementing policies, or they accelerated implementing policies to try to liberalize their economy and open up certain markets. And they created, they started the process of creating the China Investment Corp. Prior to this, they had simply hoarded dollars in the People's Bank of China against currency market unrest and economic chaos on a global basis. How do you prepare for that? You have a lot of money stashed to cover your costs during economic chaotic periods. After watching the U.S. government in the 90s, the Chinese government and governments around the world in the Middle East, in Southeast Asia, in East Asia, in Europe, parts of Europe, started creating sovereign wealth funds and said, we need to not just have a hoard of currencies as insurance, we also need to invest in our infrastructure, and we define infrastructure to include our industrial base. Now, this China Investment Corp wasn't actually monetized until December of 2007, because central banks work very methodically. But, you know, the idea that there should be a China Investment Corp was spawned in the mid-1990s, mid to late 1990s.
All right, Jeff, we'll wrap it up here. Very interesting. Maybe some of these people move into the sector. Maybe they go away. Who knows? But one thing is for sure that they will follow price, too. So if you are right and we can get a breakout, even if it is in a couple of years, just say above 2100, that will bring in some more money. Everyone, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. As always, keep in touch with us through email. Our emails are flex@kereport.com and chat@kereport.com. Jeff, thank you again for your time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.